Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now, we've got Drew Doyon in the house. He's the founder and CEO of Upcast. Pleasure to have you on the show, brother.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Upcast, break it down for our audience. I know what you do, but our audience doesn't. So, what do you do?
Yeah, so we created the first mobile app that lets models and actors audition from their phone. So, instead of...
You used to do modeling, by the way, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, or so do you still?
I still. I still have representation, and, you know, definitely still going out for some auditions and taking the work where I can get it.
There you go. I love it.
But yeah, the concept is, you know, instead of sending an outdated headshot that looks nothing like you from 6 months, 2 years ago, the app actually lets models and actors send live photos and videos directly to casting professionals or anyone looking for talent.
So, like, I feel like most business owners who have created something, it's usually because they saw demand and a need in the marketplace, or they themselves struggled with a problem that they wanted to solve. Like, and I feel like that's what you told me what you were going through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, as a model myself, auditioning, why don't you break it down for us? You saw the problem and you wanted to create
it. I definitely saw the problem from kind of both sides. I've done some castings. I've been on the production side too, but most of my experience has been for the last 8 years modeling and acting. And, you know, I spend probably 45 minutes to an hour each way driving in traffic, finding parking, getting an unlucky parking ticket, and then showing up, and, you know, you wait 30 minutes to an hour, and then the person in the room takes, you know, 1 to 3 pictures or a short video of you, and, you know, we have all these cell phones with high-quality cameras, like, why can't we at least do this first process from the phone, or from anywhere, or, you know?
It's crazy that it takes you, so you give up hours of your time for maybe a couple minutes in front of the camera or the audition, and that's just to hope that you get it.
Yeah.
So that's what's crazy. So you help basically solve that issue through your unique, you know, platform, Upcast. What's been the hardest part? You guys just recently launched. It's not easy. I want to make sure people have to understand that what you've gone through to create what you did is not easy. What's been one of the hardest parts of getting this thing off the ground?
Probably, you know, you have talent. They're excited about any opportunity to do something new. So that's probably the easier side of the thing.
They want this platform.
They want this platform. Anything to make their life easier or get more opportunities to book more work, whether it's paid or unpaid, whatever their motivation is, they want to be working. So the hardest part is really getting the casting professionals, the production companies on board, the business side of things, to provide the jobs for the talent, because, you know, the industry has their standards and the way that things have gone on for, you know, years and years and years. So we're kind of disrupting that a little bit, but more so just resegmenting, you know, an already existing business to not, we're not trying to replace the audition process. It's just an easier way to find people with specific skills, look, talents.
I feel like it was inevitable. If it wasn't you, somebody was going to create it.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, that's just the future, right? It's like people are not going to be driving around. We're going to eventually probably use, you know, virtual reality to do castings at some point. So that'll be probably the evolution of your platform. Did you always know that you wanted to become an entrepreneur? I feel like that's the question I always need to ask, because some people stumble in entrepreneurship and some people, like, as a child, just knew this was the path for me. So which part of that did you fall into?
Yeah, so I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Both of my parents are small business owners.
That helps.
At some point, they both worked from home. So I kind of saw like what that enabled them to do, the amount of quality time that like we had. And then when I always wanted to be an actor. I always wanted to be an action star. I did martial arts from since I was 3 years old, so I would be like messing around.
Like a Jackie Chan.
Yeah, I wanted to be Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan. And I started modeling in New York, and then I moved to L.A., and I've always been enamored with the tech world, but I really wanted to pursue modeling and acting, most specifically acting. And what I realized was that was kind of being a modern actor is being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You do
it is. It's a
get to set your own schedule. You have a lot of free time, but the thing that you don't have control over is the work and the money.
One thing that I love about you is I feel like, and if you go into modeling and acting and you're trying to chase the dream, I feel like most people end up, if they don't succeed, which most don't, obviously, statistically, they end up as a barista. But you went and you became an entrepreneur. We've got the founder and CEO of Upcast, Drew Doyon, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. What's one of the favorite books you've read most recently? I feel like maybe you're not a guy that reads, but I feel like most successful people have mentors, coaches, books they read. They're constantly finding a way to improve themselves.
Yeah, I do enjoy, I do a lot of audiobook reading, so Zero to One by Peter Thiel.
When I said book, audiobooks counts, okay?
Yeah, audiobooks counts. There's even just like The Lean Startup, Eric Ries, a lot of the startup books just kind of opened up my idea to like, oh, I can do this. And just kind of reading other people's stories and their kind of the struggles that they've had kind of just helped me be stronger moving forward. Because it's been interesting as a sole founder, non-technical founder, to kind of just get inspiration from all over that it actually is doable.
So you said, you know, to understand and have the belief that it's possible by looking at other people's struggles and adversity that they went through, that they overcame to succeed. Why do you think that most people are not going after their dreams? There's a million other actors and actresses chasing the dream that you're chasing. They don't become entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I think that, well, there's one is the actual desire to do something, and then the other is putting in the time and the effort and actually finding what where your best skills can be put into place. Like, I knew that one in my spare time for modeling and acting, I was teaching myself to code. I was freelancing at startups doing marketing, and I knew that this was the intersection of my two passions. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the kind of like divine spark that allowed me to like, okay, here's my opportunity or putting myself in the best position to be successful with an idea, whether it fails or not. I knew that I could bring something to the table for this business if I could actually make it a reality.
So I want to bring something up. You said it's where you can find your strengths and your passions and find a way to go after them and monetize them with a business, something like that. But what I think a lot of people struggle with is they don't think or have strengths that align with maybe a passion that allows them to make money.
No, absolutely. I think that one, yes, you should always be like, I think that I'm a lifelong learner. There's always more to learn. And if you do find something that you're passionate about, research as much as possible, learn what other people are doing in similar spaces. And then whatever you potentially aren't, super skillful at, that's where talking about the idea and kind of doing things kind of differently than what I did with finding co-founders and like other people with similar skill sets where you can actually merge those passions with more than one person. But yeah, I think it's important to just always be advancing your skill set. And if you're not skilled in it, you can learn to be at least.
What I love that you said was you're committed to being a lifelong learner. And I feel like so many people out there, education stops after college. Mm-hmm. And if your career that you're in doesn't continue to invest in your education, you know, the average person, I feel like, I forgot what the exact stat is, but it's they read one book a year and they don't even finish it. And it's usually not educational, it's fiction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that just shows a reflection of like people usually stop investing in their education after college, or at least it dramatically, you know, decelerates and they get to a place where they're reading one book a year and they don't even finish it.
And I think that it's interesting time because there is so much material online. Like I was watching online courses
online
and tutorials. Like there is so much information that
yet
you
we
learn
still
anything.
Use excuses so, and say, I don't have the knowledge, the skill sets, the resources, the money, the people, the education, yet all of those things are on the planet. We all have the ability to get access to them. Some of us just have an easier way to the path of access than others. But, you know, some of the most inspiring people we've studied and heard of and know their names are the ones that came from nothing. I want to know from your perspective what you feel like as a beginning entrepreneur, the things you've learned now that would be beneficial for somebody who's saying, look, you know, I love this guy, Drew. I'm too about to just get started in my entrepreneurial journeys. What are some things you've learned in the beginning of your stage right now that you can share with them that'll be helpful when they start?
I would say that there's no right or wrong way to do a startup or to start a business, but there's so much information that you can learn from other people's mistakes. And then also just kind of what we were just touching on with the education. Like, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to code this entire app by myself, but I made it I made a point to learn the ins and outs of the architecture and the development side of things, that I would be able to articulate that to investors, to development companies. And it has saved me so much time and money and stress by just learning enough about every aspect of the business to feel confident talking about it. Because I think that some people will just learn a skill set and be like, well, someone else will build it or develop it, when you don't have to do everything yourself. But there is enough resources out there, and most of them are free. I was watching coding classes online for free and taking free code jobs and doing marketing and just putting yourself out there to learn as much as possible.
Well, I love that, because it keeps going back to the theme, it sounds like, where you have to keep investing in your education, never stop learning. And you said something that was a trigger there, which is investors. I know that you got some investors, so we'll talk about that when we get right back with Drew Doyon. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do, and you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
If you're finally addressing your hearing loss, you know that custom hearing aids can cost as much as $5,000 each and are not covered by Medicare. The good news is MD Hearing Aid offers medical-grade hearing aids at savings of up to 90% over traditional hearing aids. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-396-1380. That's 1-800-396-1380.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. If your IVC filter broke or caused organ damage, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-7907. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography, and want to get it published, Call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
800-547-6533. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now, we've got Drew Doyon. He's the founder and CEO of Upcast. Recap first your company, brother.
Yeah, so the app is called Upcast. It lets models and actors audition from their phone by sending live photos and videos instead of outdated headshots.
And you're the exact customer who wants this because you are in the modeling space as well. You created this because you didn't have it for yourself. So I love that. I feel like that's what entrepreneurs are, right? We have a problem in our own lives, or we see one out in the world and we create the solution. You've done that. Now, sometimes we have to raise money for these things. I know you did. Mm-hmm. So how much money did you raise, and explain that process for us? Because it's not easy and sometimes it's scary.
So it took about 20 months before I actually closed our seed round.
Wow.
I had found an investor that was interested in the business and went through the legal fees and the negotiations, and it ended up falling through. And then I decided...
So the first one fell through.
Okay. And then I decided, well, I need to find a co-founder. We're just going to build this. I want to just sit in a garage and make this thing happen.
The Steve Jobs.
I had found two awesome co-founders and just didn't work out. And then I was...
So you had a bunch of bad luck in the beginning there. Investors and co-founders.
A lot of bad luck. But I kept moving forward. And then I met the eventual investor. He had said, I'm interested. Keep me posted. We had a couple meetings. And, it took about 6 months, 8 months before it actually ended up closing. We raised $250,000.
Congrats.
To get us to development. Yeah.
It's exciting when somebody believes in you and your vision and you to execute it, that they give you money at all.
Yeah.
Six or seven figures.
It still kind of blows my mind, especially,
I can see it on your face. You're like, somebody gave me a quarter mil.
Yeah. As a, sole founder and, non-technical founder, that was definitely the most difficult part about raising money, which really just had to make sure that I could prove my worth, because the investor's really investing in you.
Yeah.
And
the job
since
the horse kind of thing.
And since I couldn't, develop the platform completely myself, I really had to prove that I had a viable business, because a lot of investors are looking to invest in a team, more.
It's going to take a team to execute that vision.
Exactly. So I just was extremely fortunate to meet such an awesome investor.
That's awesome, man. Well, what I have to point out and what I admire and respect about you is, whether it's going after the dream business or the dream, significant partner in our lives, we typically give up if relationships don't work out consistently. We maybe give up on relationships for a while and we focus more on work. If going after our dream business doesn't work out and the investor we chased ends up falling through and our co-founders end up being flops, we go, maybe this isn't right. Maybe it's not the right time for me. Maybe I should go back to my job. So what I admire and respect about you and so many other successful entrepreneurs out there on the journey is that you never give up, because there is no such thing as failure. There's only results. And if you're not getting the results you want, then you pivot and you change, but you never give up. And so I want to know, what was the mindset like for you when the co-founders fell through, when the investor fell through, but you persevered for 20 months to make your dream become a reality? Now you're living in it. I know it's the best feeling ever because I've been there. But what was the mindset shift for you? Like, when the stuff started falling through, did you want to give up? What kept you going?
There definitely were plenty of times where I wanted to give up, or at least say, oh, well, I'll put it on the back burner.
Eventually, we rationalize, right?
Eventually it'll happen. But yeah, it was difficult because at that time, I had still been operating in this like stealth mode where I wasn't even telling most of my friends about it. Besides like my girlfriend and a few other people and the investor.
Why though? Is it because if you told them and then you failed and it didn't happen, it'd be like, oh.
It was two parts. So yeah. One, I really felt like I was onto something with the business and that it maybe justified being a little bit in stealth mode, which I don't know if I regret it now, but I would suggest telling as many people about your idea.
You should, because then you feel accountable to having the producers on.
It'd be foolish to say that there probably wasn't some sort of insecurity in me to not be telling everybody about it when I had no idea if it was going to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had already kind of known that without money or a co-founder, it was unlikely to happen. So I was kind of hinging on one or two of those things. And to not have those things, I really just still had an idea. Maybe a well thought out to be executed idea.
Yeah.
But if, you know, when those things fell through, to me, the business really fell through. And I was back at square one with my business plan and pitch deck. And
I got to stop you right there, because there's research that shows that when people tell people, whether it's on social media or their friends and their family and their mentors, if they have them, and their peers and their colleagues, if they say, here's my big, hairy, audacious goal, when you tell people and you put it on the wall and everyone gets to see it, you subconsciously are like, oh my God, everyone knows I said I'm going to lose 20 pounds or make this much money or get my business off the ground. And it inevitably holds you accountable to taking action. So I think the lesson there is I've had to learn myself is tell everybody what your hairy, audacious goals are so you're held accountable to them. Founder and CEO of Upcast, Drew Doyon, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Habits and rituals are the one things that I've noticed make people unhappy, sick, and broke, and make people happy, healthy, and wealthy. So I've got to know, you're a fit guy. You obviously go to the gym. That's one habit, so let's put that one on the shelf.
Okay.
What's another habit or ritual that you have that you feel like has helped you with a better quality of life, better relationships, or better in business? And there could be a few if you have a couple.
Yeah, I mean, I think one important thing, I don't feel fulfilled if I don't learn something every day. So I'm always researching something, whether it's for the business or personal. I feel like it's just important to grow as a human being every single day. So whether it's reading something, listening to a podcast, or just, you know, researching a new way to do business or to market, and just really just learning from other people and just expanding yourself.
There's an old cliche saying, if we're not growing, we're dying. Yeah. And so, you know, the fact that you say, I feel most fulfilled, most happy when I'm growing, is a reflection of, Tony Robbins calls the six human needs. Two of those needs are the needs of the spirit, growth and contribution. Most people are not growing to their full potential or growing enough consistently so they don't feel as happy and fulfilled as they do. And most people are not contributing or giving back or serving others in another way. And when you look back at the best times in your life, the most fulfilling times in your life, the happiest times in your life, usually in some way, shape, or form, you were contributing or giving to somebody, even if it was just your children.
Yeah.
Or you yourself were growing. And a lot of the times we grow during times of contribution and service. I love that you brought that up. How important do you feel like gratitude is? Because I feel like at the end of the day, when we're growing and we're contributing, if we're not grateful and appreciative for it, then at the end of the day, none of it really matters. I've seen people that have grown and achieved everything, and they've given so much to other people, yet they end up feeling miserable inside. So if we're not grateful for the things we have and the things we've done and experienced, it doesn't really mean anything. So do you practice gratitude?
Absolutely. And I think the most important thing about that is actually setting aside the time to be grateful, whether it's a vacation or doing something that you love or spending time with people that you love. I think that that helps bring about those feelings. Yeah. But I think it's important, whether you meditate or pray or just take time to really, you know, count your blessings.
We all call it different things, right? Yeah. Meditation, prayer, just chilling.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that, yes, it's super important. It's definitely, you know, no matter where I'm at in my life or the hard times that I've been through, I've always had, you know, I've always felt blessed, because we all are blessed in our own way. It's just kind of keeping tabs on those, you know, amazing things and people that you have in your life and, you know, what you're really grateful for.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Weed control starts before you even see them in your fields. The Successful Farming Radio Magazine is brought to you by Kubota. Where passion meets performance, Kubota can help you achieve more. Kubota, for Earth, for Life.
When it's time to get moving on your to-do list, Kubota's RTVX 1140 utility vehicle is ready. With Kubota's smart engineering, the RTVX 1140's unique K-vertical design allows you to change quickly from hauling cargo in the hydraulic dumping bed to carrying friends and family with a second row of seating. The RTVX 1140 is power, versatility, and a smooth ride in one sleek package. Visit your local Kubota dealer for low-rate long-term financing going on now. We are Kubota. This is what we do.
A weedy field is more than just ugly. It's a sign that a grower has missed an opportunity to not only keep weeds from robbing yield that growing season, but also for years to come.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee your company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show.
Now let's check in with Alex Worley for good reason.
She's always got somebody great. Alex?
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. And I am joined today by Frank Shankwitz. He is the creator and a founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which everyone knows about. Cannot wait to talk to you and ask you so many questions. But let's start from the very beginning, because there were so many life moments that led to this idea, your idea to start Make-A-Wish. Let's start from when you were a kid and how you really created the value of giving back, because so many people gave to you, right?
Yes. Raised very poor, single mother. And we lived, she wanted to go back to Arizona. In fact, I was born in Chicago. But at 5 years old, she started a journey to go back to Arizona where she had worked as a teenager. And this is back in the 1940s. And it took us 5 years to get there because she would work in one town for a couple weeks as a waitress, get enough money, gas money to go to the next town. So majority of the time, we lived for 5 years in the back of a car. We lived in tents. We lived in old flop houses. Very poor existence. Finally hit a little town called Seligman, Arizona, where she completely ran out of money, ran out of gas, ran out of everything. And a family took us in. I'm 10 years old now. And in fact, we slept on her kitchen floor for the next 6 months. But I got a job. I was very fortunate. I got a job at 10 years old washing dishes, started working full time. And so many people in this town helped us, especially a man named Juan Delgadillo, who became my father figure, my mentor at that young age. And he so told me when I was working one time, he said, Frank, when you can, give back. Now, this is in the 50s. That's not a popular term whatsoever. Juan, what do you mean give back? We don't have a thing. We're still sleeping on somebody's kitchen floor. He said, so many people in town are helping you. Mrs. Garcia, she's bringing you beans and tortillas a lot. You can give back to her. Look at the weeds in her yard. You can go over there. You don't have to have money. You can give your time, your energy, your effort. You can pull weeds. You can rake. That's how you give back. And I always remember that lesson as long as I could in adult years and that. In fact, when I first joined Arizona Highway Patrol, I got involved with Special Olympics and working with the kids, coaching the kids. And that's the first time I thought, Juan, I think I'm starting to give back.
Wow, yeah. So that obviously is a huge value of yours. And then another really key moment in your life was when you were in the police force and there was an incident where you were actually pronounced dead for a little bit. Wow. Tell me about that.
Well, I was with the Arizona Highway Patrol and I was a motorcycle officer with the Arizona Highway Patrol and a 10-man squad to work the whole state. In fact, we're here in California now, so we originally trained with California Highway Patrol with CHIPS up in Sacramento at training center. And when we came back, our motorcycles, everything was identical to California Highway Patrol, except ours obviously said Arizona. But I was working in a small town called Park, Arizona, on the California-Arizona border, in a high-speed chase with a drunk driver, 80 miles an hour. Another drunk driver pulled right in front of me. I hit him broadside. They told me later the wreck was spectacular. But I was pronounced dead at the scene. My partner could not bring me back. I heard the radio tapes later on. They gave in the code officer killed in the line of duty. Off-duty emergency room nurse from California, I love California, stopped at the scene, identified herself. She said, please let me try. They said, there's no activity, no pulse, no service. She said, I don't care. Let me try. The next 4 minutes, she kept working. Well, obviously, she brought me back to life. But it took 6 months to recover from that accident. Skull fracture, traumatic brain injury, broken bones, missing skin. And during that time, I just started thinking, why did God spare me? Why, was there a reason that I was spared from this? And it was a couple of years later that I found that reason.
This is Frank Shankwitz. He is the creator and a founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. So you found a reason, your purpose after this accident. You were pronounced dead. You were brought back to life. How did you find that purpose?
It was in 1980, and I was on patrol, motorcycle patrol, up in the mountains in Arizona. I get a call from the dispatcher saying, find the nearest payphone. Now, you're going to laugh, why a payphone? Well, there's no cell phones in 1980.
I remember. Well, not 1980, but I remember when there weren't.
And she said, I need you to find a payphone right away. We have emergency traffic. It doesn't involve your family, but we need you to get a phone right away. And it was 60 miles of the nearest phone. But when I called in, she said, we've just learned of a little boy named Chris, 7 years old. He has leukemia. He only has a couple weeks to live. And his heroes are Ponch and John from the television show Chips. And he always told his mother, I wish I could be a motorcycle officer when I grow up, just like Ponch and John. And the family contacted the Arizona Highway Patrol. They asked if he could possibly meet a motorcycle officer. And my commanders chose me because I had worked with the Special Olympic kids. They knew I was always working with the children. And they coordinated where they were going to use our state police helicopter to pick him up at his hospital and fly to our headquarters building. And they timed it just as I arrived, the helicopter would land. And when the helicopter landed, I expected these paramedics to help with this little boy. He'd just come from the hospital off IVs. Instead, this little guy just jumps out of that helicopter, runs over the motorcycle. Hi, I'm Chris. Can I get down here? He's just beaming, smiling. And I'm thinking, this little boy, he knew he's going to die. How does he do this? And I'm looking at his mother. She's got tears. And I'm thinking, those tears are because she now has a typical seven-year-old, not this boy laying in a bed dying in IVs. But he had more fun. He was all over that motorcycle. He had watched Chip so much that he knew every button and switch. This is a siren. Can I turn it on? Because our motorcycles are identical to CHP. He even opened the saddle bag. Is this the same stuff that Ponch has in his saddlebag? But he went on that day to become the first and only honorary Highway Patrol officer in our history of the Highway Patrol. That was 36 years later, complete with his own custom uniform we have made for him, his own badge that was signed to him, the smoky hat, everything, including the motorcycle wings, because that was his wish. I want to be a motorcycle officer. And we did that for him. He died a couple of days later. Our commanders learned he was going to be buried in a little town called Kewaunee, Illinois, southern Illinois, and asked if I would go back because they said, we have lost an officer. Would you go back and give him a full police funeral? Which I went back and did. It was so interesting, Alex, that we were joined, the word got out. We were joined by Illinois State Police, City Police, County Police, a long procession to bury this little young trooper. And in fact, he was buried in uniform. His grave marker reads, Chris Gracious, Arizona Trooper. But flying home to Arizona, I just started thinking, this boy had a wish, and we made it happen. Why can't we do that for other children? And that's 36,000 feet was when the idea of Make-A-Wish Foundation was born.
Yeah, that story is so fascinating and just heartfelt on its own. But then to think that was the first wish of so many now. How many wishes, about approximately, well, how many wishes have you done?
Yeah, it's just an amazing figure to me. In 36 years now, and this is all because of one seven-year-old boy.
Yeah.
350,000 wishes have been granted worldwide. We have 63 chapters in the United States, 36 international chapters on five continents. As you and I do this interview today, somewhere in the world, every 28 minutes, a wish is granted. So during our interview today, somewhere in the world, a wish is going to be granted, all because of one little boy.
Well, and because of you, too. You know, a lot of people would do something like that and go, wow, wasn't that nice? That alone was so purposeful. But you took this one incident and this one beautiful story and turned it into something huge. So how did you get from A to Z?
It took a lot of work. And the hardest thing was to find people that would agree with that idea, because nobody had ever heard anything like this. There was nothing like this anywhere in the world.
You also have to experience it to probably really understand the full impact, as you did. So what was that first step to going from, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a nonprofit. I'm going to turn this into something bigger.
Well, again, finding the right people. In Arizona, for Corporation Commission, you had to have a five-person board to even file for a 501c3 nonprofit status. And that was the hardest part, finding those five people. But when I did, and this is before the days of internet, how do you start a nonprofit? I had no idea. You go to the library. Remember the old library cards?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it took a lot of research. But again, we found the right people. We found an attorney that would help us file that. I say that I have a friend that's an attorney. It's not an oxymoron. Attorneys can't be friends. Mm-hmm. An accountant that helped us put it all together. A lot of help to put it together. And it only took 6 months, which surprises me. Today, it takes longer than that to start a nonprofit. But once we got going, we got such good press immediately. Local Arizona press, our first wish was in March of 1980, first official wish, March of 1981. NBC Dateline picked it up. It went nationwide. Within a year and a half, we were getting, how do we start a franchise in Nebraska? How do we do this? A franchise, they call it, but a chapter, as we call it. And within 3 years, it went nationwide.
Wow. Now, everyone knows what the Make-A-Wish Foundation is because you guys are all over the place and doing so many wonderful things. But tell me something we may not know about Make-A-Wish Foundation.
the amazing growth of the foundation, and it just took so many people. Now, the biggest thing, my true career is a police officer with Arizona State Police. In fact, I retired 2 years ago after 42 years. But when we first started the Make-A-Wish Foundation, I was the first president and CEO, and trying to do both careers at the same time. And I had a great commander said, I know what you're doing. He said, I want you to give me 8 hours of work every day, but if it's going to take you 15 hours to do it, that's fine. And I love the way he did that, and I always gave him 8 hours of work, and it usually took me 15 hours. But after a couple of years, I decided, and I've been told I learned that in college, surround yourself with people smarter than you. And we started talking to the board. We need to hire people that are smarter than us. We need to hire the professionals in the nonprofit world. Because I never took a salary the whole time I was with Make-A-Wish. I wanted everything to go into the foundation to help the children.
So the first thing you told me was that it was important to find the right people. But then, of course, at some point you had to come up with a business plan. What was it within your plan that allowed you to grow so fast?
It was an accidental plan, and it was the media. The media just immediately picked this up. Now, we had hired a PIO, press officer, and he didn't have to do much because the media kept coming to us. We didn't have to go to them. As I said, they had never heard of anything like this. But make the media your darling. Now, especially at a nonprofit, whatever you're working with, whether it's vets, children, so animals, you can get the press attention, you can get the public's attention.
And in your case, it's probably because there's so many good stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have to really try because the story was there. And, of course, that's what the media wants is a good story. So perhaps that's good advice for anyone wanting to start a nonprofit.
Exactly.
To really lead with that story, right?
Right, right. And now with social media, especially social media, Facebook, every day there's just hundreds of stories of chapters from all over the world that are putting out the stuff on Facebook so that people can read what the kids are doing, what the wishes are.
Thank you so much to my guest, Frank Shankwitz. He is the creator and a founder of Make-A-Wish Foundation. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
This Valentine's Day, forget the night out. Transform your bedroom into a luxury suite with Boll & Branch sheets. I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. Our organic cotton sheets feel incredible, look great in your bedroom, and arrive beautifully packaged. Try them for 30 nights. If you're not impressed, send them back for a full refund. Right now, get $50 off your first set of sheets plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com with promo code DOZE, spelled B-O-L-L, and branch.com. Promo code DOZE.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-379-1174. 800-379-1174.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. If your IVC filter broke or caused organ damage, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-7907. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive.
If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
So how do you save money and pay off debt? Joining us to elaborate on that is our guest, Inan Ravid. He's the founder and CEO of Albert. It's good to have you on the show with us, brother.
Great to be here.
All right. So again, the question is, how do you save money and pay off debt? We live in a time period where the millennials, our future workforce and future leaders, have more debt than they've ever had before. And I know you're an expert on this space, and Albert, your app, actually helps people do practical daily steps to pay off their debt and save up money. So let's dive in.
So sure. So I think it makes probably most sense before we even dive in to how to fix the problem. Let's talk about the problem.
Yeah.
So
what is the problem?
So let's talk in broad strokes. So if you look at some census data and some just data out there, right?
Yeah.
The average millennial, somebody born between 1981 and 2000, has a negative savings rate of about minus 2%. That means
so a negative savings.
That means you're spending more than you earn.
Okay.
And so that's a big problem, obviously, because if the average population is spending more than they earn, the average population is not saving a dime.
Yeah.
So that's problem one. And if you look at the debt situation, right? There's a lot of different types of debt, right? There's student debt, there's personal loans, there's car loans, there's mortgages. Roughly, from the last read, I believe about 2/3 of millennials have some sort of student debt. I don't know the exact numbers on car loans, but very few people walk into a dealership and pay for a car in all cash.
All cash, yeah.
Right.
Which actually is worse for your credit than paying it off in a lease, but we won't get into
we
that.
We won't even get into that, right. So people have debt. And then there are personal loans as well. And then obviously the big fish is credit card debt. And you know, last I looked at the stats, somewhere between 40 and 50% of this population have paid some sort of interest on their credit cards in the last, you know, 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And that means fees and so forth. And
so we're talking about these problems here, but what's the solution? Let's dive
into
that.
Exactly. So, before we get started,
I know exactly.
We all have it. So before we get started, we'll say I am not a financial planner. So take these are all opinions.
Yes, and little disclaimer.
Little disclaimer, but really there are a lot of resources out there, and I think we'll frame the general solutions out there because there's no one magic bullet.
Everyone has a different situation,
right? And the money tree would probably solve this all, but the money tree doesn't exist. So let's start with saving.
Okay.
So obviously, if you spend less than you earn, you'll save money. And the question is, how do you do that, right? We all have bills. We're all living roughly paycheck to paycheck. And the question,
most people are, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, we all already felt it. And the question is really, what does that mean? Are you really living down to the exact dollar? Or is there some leeway? And if there's some leeway, and that leeway could be $5 or $10, that starts to make a difference. So if you can tuck away maybe $10 a week, $20 a week, and then get better at it, you're starting to look at a couple hundred dollars a month. You know, there was a very alarming stat that came out recently that was if somebody, you know, it was a census stat or maybe a Fed stat of if people at the bar $400 or they needed $400, where could they get it? And I believe over half the entries were, I need to borrow it, I don't have it. And $400, if you think about that math, you tuck away $10 a week.
That's $500.
That's $500 in a year, and you solve that problem. So there are many ways about thinking. There are many ways to think about saving money. One, are you saving for this long-term retirement 40 years down the road? Mm. The answer is generally no. Let's start with saving so that if something happens, ship goes bump in the night, you need to switch jobs, you have an unforeseen expense, you can cover it.
So don't make it this big overwhelming thing. Chunk it down and be like, even $5, $10 a week makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference, right? It makes a huge difference. And what is $5, $10 a week? I don't know. It's one of those grande coffees.
Yeah, yeah.
And it adds up.
And that's the thing. It's like common sense, but it's not always common practice.
Right.
And I love that that's what you guys really help distill down is like, these are the simple, you know, daily action steps, weekly action steps that you can take that compound over years. And then you'll look back and realize how all of those little $5 and $10 added up.
Yeah. And so to talk about the way, you know, we at Albert think about the world, it's, if you make it easy, so to speak, they will come, right? And so if you make saving, for example, very easy, people will take more action on saving than they did before. If saving means going to your bank and opening a new savings account and transferring money manually every month at the end...
That's difficult.
It's difficult.
It's tedious.
It's tedious.
People...
You look up, you forget to do it. It's a chore. You put it in your calendar. It's the one thing a month you don't want to do. But if it's operating in the background and it's taking... perhaps just a few dollars out, $7, $14, $10.
And I get a pick or whatever, right?
Or even if you don't get, make it easy. You know, Albert, you don't even pick. You just turn it on or turn it off. And if it's on, we pull out a small amount of money that, based on your past bills and income and spending, you can afford. You know, we do the math for you.
Yeah.
Effectively, the math that you would have to do that's sort of a pain. We do that for you. And that makes saving a lot easier. And we've seen that people actually do save money pretty fast. If you have it on, the reality is virtually everybody can save a dollar a week, and when you actually do that a little bit, you take that out a little bit. If you can save a dollar, you can probably save five. Mm. You can probably save seven.
Yeah.
And then you've covered that $500.
And basically, I love what you just said. Virtually everybody can save a dollar. So we're talking about some practical things right now. Let's keep taking that forward though, right? If you can save a dollar a day, $5 a week, $10 a week, it starts to add up. But what are some other practical things? Because I think that's something that people go, yeah, that's the obvious stuff, right? Lift up the couch cushion and find some change and save a dollar. Don't go to Starbucks, things like that. But what else? Give us some more things that maybe people haven't considered or maybe people have, but they're just not doing it.
Well, look, I think there are a ton of resources and blogs and articles written about all the ways to actually spend less, mm-hmm. right? There's whether it's specific coupons or, you know, tips and tricks about how to go on a cheaper vacation. There's a ton of that stuff.
So it's not necessarily just saving what I make, but spending less of what I do make.
Right, and I don't think this probably isn't a great segment to dive into all those things because it depends on your situation. Depends what you spend money on. Some people are naturally more frugal. Some people have more expensive taste, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's all fine. Spending money is fine, right? You need to live. You need to enjoy yourself. Part of the way I think we think about it is that if you take out the money beforehand, you can't spend it. And so you spend what you have left over. Mm. And so if you make it really easy, take out the money beforehand, leave it to the customer to decide what they want to spend their money on, right? You need to enjoy your life to an extent as long as you're making the decisions in advance. You're not saying, you know what, let me enjoy my life and I'll take some money out at the end.
I love that. Inan, a pleasure having you on the show, brother. Great tips.
Thanks.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
BizTalk Radio,